Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Titans lose 10-6 to the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, and also fresh off the sting, I guess, of losing Juan Soto to the New York Mets, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am not stung. I do not want Juan Soto in 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 years. I think the money can be better spent, and I'm fine with it. And he's going to go to Queens, and he's going to Met. So it's all fine.
It's a lot of money for Juan Soto.
Is that like goodness. Clemson? Is that like Clemsoning? That's a verb?
It is.
Metting? He's going to be Metting? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it existed long before Clemsoning.
Well, PK, I'm not even sure where to...
It's funny, your worldview since you've become a college football writer.
Yeah.
Well, okay, no, but let me just quickly respond. I'll believe you that in the Northeast, people said, he's Metting. But, I mean, I've been following baseball for, like, you know, 40-some years, and I've never heard anybody say, oh, that guy's Metting! So, I mean, if I missed that, you know, I apologize.
It's not about the word, Joe. It's about the concept. the Mets
I'm talking
are,
about
are,
the word, right.
Okay, well, we're talking about different things. The Mets have a history of choking and of acquiring big money talent that does not produce. So
thanks for the history
lesson. It's a good educational segment. It's a good educational segment for you. You're welcome.
So, PK, I'm not even really sure where to start yesterday. It's a 10-6 loss to Jacksonville, quarterbacked by Mac Jones. The loss, bad enough. The fact that you don't score a touchdown in that game, even worse. And you got a stadium that's about half full watching all this go down. Your reaction to what you saw yesterday at Nissan Stadium?
I mean, it's just, really, really something. They had seven plays inside the 10. Four plays inside the four, three plays at the two, and could not punch it in. Those three plays at the 2 yard line, it's hard to fathom why Tony Pollard doesn't get the ball there. Will Levis, you know, misses one tight end to throw to a covered tight end. Calvin Ridley runs out of bounds because he thinks there's a cornerback behind him when there isn't. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's been a hero, can't pull in a pass that's a little high and a little slippery and not a great throw, but definitely catchable. So, I mean, virtually everybody didn't do what they needed to do. They lose to another backup and a bad team. And I'd just say, you know, Jags were as bad as anybody coming in. The Titans lose to them. The Titans are now as bad as anybody. I don't, you know, put them on a neutral field against anybody, and who do you think they're beating?
So, Paul, 2 weeks ago, some obvious goodwill winning in Houston. What's the bad will, you know, factor of losing this game? Amy's at the game, walking around, watching. The stadium, whatever percentage full it was, and then it sounded like a pretty good chorus of boos at times from those people, and this just abysmal loss in performance. What's the trade-off between those two things?
No, I mean, I think, to be frank, they've pissed it all away. I mean, maybe not with her, because that Houston thing means so much, and maybe she's blinded to and manages to have blinders on, and she won her individual Super Bowl, and that carries a lot of weight. I don't see how yesterday doesn't more than offset the win in Houston, where they can't score against a team that's 26th in red zone defense and is, you know, bound to be firing its coach and GM in a couple of weeks, where nobody's there. So you don't want to have the Jaguars at home, because the Jaguars don't bring fans to the stadium, and that hurts your gate. So, on to Cincinnati, and let's, from a Titans organizational standpoint, let's hope that they bring some fans. which, you know, is another issue altogether. The billboard thing failed them, guys.
Yes.
They didn't advertise the Jaguars game, and people didn't come. But maybe the early advertising of the Bengals game will pay off, and the place will be jammed.
Very well, could be, could be. So, PK, four games in a row of solid quarterback play from Will Levis. Yesterday, I mean, they don't score a touchdown against the worst passing defense in the National Football League. You know, he didn't have, like, some egregious turnover or anything, but how does yesterday's performance, you know, missing Chigakonkwo wide open in the end zone, missing on some other throws, how does that influence and factor into the Will Levis discussion after what was 4 weeks of pretty good positivity prior to that?
Yeah, he wasn't good. You know, he wasn't good on a day when nobody was good. I'm sure the shoulder, I mean, he was shot up in the second half. I don't know how that makes things feel, but obviously he wasn't good leaving the field at halftime when he got crunched. And the bigger thing is that could be an issue now going forward and cost them some of these four opportunities going forward. I mean, I think it's hard to say that game, which was a bad quarterback game but not an atrocity, washes away Will Levis's progress the way these two losses to Washington and the Jaguars wash away any team advancement. You would have liked to have seen him do better. You want to see him bounce back, so hopefully the shoulder doesn't keep him from being out there. But I still think body of work since he returned from the injury is, you know, more than satisfactory to me. And they've got conceivably bigger issues than quarterback, considering what's going to be available to them at quarterback after the season's over.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd agree. I mean, it's a neutral. I wouldn't say it was a big step backward, but it's just I guess it's like hard to reconcile that with 6 points at home against Jacksonville, which is the worst passing defense in the NFL. How about that just from like game plan perspective? Because obviously, like early on, they're doing nothing but running the ball. I thought it made sense. Like you're going to set up some play action shots. They just never took them. And I do wonder if that could be shoulder related in the second half or, you know, what you're seeing in terms of guys getting open or not getting open in a game like yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't think there were a lot of guys open. Did you? And the other thing is, you know, Jacksonville went into a nice no huddle there. It needed to, right? And forced the ball to its best guy, Brian Thomas, and got results. And I had talked a lot the week before, you know, Nick Holtz talked about why they don't go no huddle. You know, we really want to get good plays against good looks, and there's communication on the line that needs to happen. He said that they've been 5% no huddle. Well, that goes down because they didn't do any yesterday, and they didn't need to do it for clock management yesterday. But when your offense is anemic and you're going to have so few possessions, like, look what it did for Jacksonville. Like, I don't think the Titans are capable of doing it. I think Nick Holtz's answer said they're not capable of doing it. But if they were capable of doing it, look at the pressure it put on the Titans defense when Jacksonville went and did it. It was like, oh, we got to defend something different here. They're doing something different. And it lifted Jacksonville like, hey, look, we're zippy now, you know. And that's an element of offense that the Titans just don't have, which is, you know, a change up for a team that, you know, is so sluggish offensively at some stages. I can't understand why it's not in their repertoire.
So, PK, Brian Callahan, you know, begins the press conference yesterday talking about, you know, positive things to build on, and that has not gone over well on social media, not gone over well in our text line today. What did you make of Brian Callahan's post-game comments?
Well, I asked the first question, and I said something akin to, you just scored 6 points and you couldn't score a touchdown, and you see a lot of positives? And he said, well, I wasn't talking about the touchdowns. But it was a bad, bad opening to a guy who's usually very good in those press conference situations. But you know, I think he's out of things to say. He doesn't know what to say after a game like that with only 10 minutes to you know, 10 or 12 minutes to talk to his team and to figure out what to say to us. But yeah, you can't open your press conference after a 10-6 loss to a terrible team by telling us that you saw a lot of positives. And quite frankly, the defense played certainly winning football, but later he said nobody gives a bleep. Would have been better to open with there were a lot of positives, but nobody gives a bleep. That's a more complete thought, a better thought.
Well, was that, I guess I thought, is he saying nobody gives a bleep, like is he talking about like negativity from like the media, or am I reading too much into that?
No, okay. I think when he said it later, he was kind of amending the thought to like, yes, in the context of this, in the context of what just happened, that nobody's going to care about the positives. Like, I think he almost circled back to it to self-correct. Which
he wasn't saying we did a lot of good things, but Kuharski doesn't care. That's not what he was saying.
I don't think so. I don't think so, and I certainly hope not.
PK, thanks for being with us as always. Looking forward to chatting with you on Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Joe, I'm sorry they didn't give you a better assignment regarding the college football playoffs. I read a lot of the Athletic stuff, but then I saw your thing, and I was like, oh, wow, they gave them something about...
They gave me the New York Times print edition today, so thank you. Thanks for bringing it up.
Wow. Well, we know they're making some bad judgments lately, and we'll put that on the list. As a subscriber to both, I was highly disappointed.
Oh. PK, be on the lookout for billboards.
We'll put your comment in the comments box.
I don't want to do that because I know that directly affects your family's well-being, and I don't want to take it that far. But I think here, to be honest with the people of Nashville, it's reasonable. So I hope you get a better assignment this week as you write about all these mismatches. And how about we hear from you about how, you know, Oregon shouldn't have a harder path than Penn State.
There we go. I like that.
Another good comment. Another good suggestion.
Make a pitch. Make a pitch. Get out there. Be aggressive.
Yeah, we need to go to break. We'll talk about that.
Thank you, PK. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, our guest. He will join us on Wednesday from 8 to 9 to discuss all things Tennessee Titans as well. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.